right, ladies and gents, we are back for another episode of the Motherhood Adventure Podcast. We are coming at you at a late hour because some days our kids, especially in the summertime, stay up a lot later than they should. At least mine do. Anyway, so we are back and have another exciting episode this evening with our wonderful special guest, Amanda, my sister, the life coach extraordinaire.
Yay!
There's Amanda. So last week we talked all about feelings, feeling the feelings, teaching our kids about feelings, all the things. So we hope you guys enjoyed that episode. But this week we are going to be talking about our brains and how our brains work and all the cool things about brains. Probably not all the cool things about brains, but some cool things about brains and how it can help us gain knowledge and learn more about ourselves and life coach, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to turn the time over to my sister, Amanda, and let's get learning. So Amanda, what is the first thing that we should learn about brains? What, I guess not learn about brains, but like teach me about brains, Amanda. Let's start there. It's late. My brain is starting to shut down anyway. So,
okay. So one of the things that I always like to teach people, especially at the beginning when they're just coming into life coaching and they're not sure how everything works, something that I like to teach everyone about brains is that there is what we in the coaching world like to call the motivational triad of the brain. And I'm sure it's in other areas of, you know, science and all of that. But in life coaching, we call it the motivational triad of the brain, which means there are three things that the brain is motivated by. Okay.
Okay.
Just to simplify that. So the three things that the brain is motivated to do is to seek pleasure, avoid pain, and conserve energy. Okay. It's always trying to do those three things.
Makes sense. Okay. My brain does all three.
Yes, all of the time. So let's talk about how this looks real world, right? Okay. So when we're trying to do new things, okay, no matter what it is, if we're trying to learn something new, if we're trying to change a habit, our brains will always fight against it. Why? Because of the motivational triad, right? It takes energy to change and to learn something new, and it wants to conserve energy. So it's like, wait a minute. Nope, we don't want to do that. That's going to take energy. Let's not do that. So it'll try and convince you not to do it, right? And it wants to seek pleasure. And guess what is not pleasurable? Change.
Yeah.
Right? Change is not pleasurable.
Yeah.
Learning new things can be pleasurable, but it also takes effort. Right? So the brain's like, let's seek pleasure in ways where we don't have to have effort. And it'll try and convince you to do that. Right?
Yeah.
The last one, avoiding pain, which goes right into seeking pleasure as well. It's like, well, so say you're trying to do a new exercise routine and it hurts, right? Why does it hurt? Because your muscles are getting stronger. And when you're trying to build up muscle, you're going to get micro tears and it hurts. And so the brain will be like, oh, wait, remember, we hate lunges. Why are we doing lunges?
Yes,
they
we
hurt.
Do.
Like tomorrow.
We hate them.
Tomorrow, I will be in pain. I will not want to walk tomorrow. So let's not do lunges. Even though it's like, well, I want to do lunges so my legs get stronger and then I can go on this hike or I can run this race that I've been wanting to do and all of these different things, right? So it makes sense. Everybody thinks, oh, well, my brain should just be like my best friend and it's going to help me do all these things. Guess what? That's wrong.
Lies.
It's wrong. Because your brain, like how do I want to explain this? When we were first, okay, so it depends on what your religious beliefs are. But if we're going back to like caveman days, this is what made it possible for people to survive. The people who had this motivational triad were the ones that survived, right? They conserved energy. They seek pleasure. Well, how did they seek pleasure? Well, they procreated, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what made it possible for us to have children. Okay. That was the seeking pleasure part. And when they ate food, you get a dose of dopamine from your body to your brain when you eat food. So every time they eat food, your body's like, yep, do that again. That's keeping us alive. We like that. So it's like, ooh, seek pleasure. That's a good thing. I procreate. I stay alive. Let's do that. Right. And the avoiding pain, sunburn, right? Like, okay, well, the people who were smart and didn't get sunburned didn't get cancer and die, right? Whatever. How I mean, that's a horrible example.
I was going to say, you're talking to the most sunburned person.
I've obviously been out in the sun this summer because I've already had my sunburn. But other things to avoid pain, staying away from things like poison ivy or, you know, specific things that were out in the wilderness that would give you pain. You learn mm-hmm. from those things like, oh, okay, if I go and do that, that will hurt. So I'm not going to do that anymore. Right? The people that like people who came up with shoes, like my feet hurt. I'm going to invent something, right? It's not that the motivational triad of the brain is bad. It got us to where we are, which is amazing, but it also can be a hurdle to getting where we want to go. Okay. So
yeah,
notice when your brain is fighting against it. It's like, oh, this is normal, right? This is also something that I say, like, of course your brain is fighting against this. This is totally normal. People think
this is what your brain doesn't want to do.
It's like there's something wrong. I must be doing it wrong because I have all these thoughts. Like, nope, that's totally normal. You're going to feel like crap. You're going to hate it. Your brain's going to come up with all the reasons why you shouldn't. This is totally normal. And people think, this is bad. I don't want it. No, yeah. No. Expect it.
It's what your brain does. To your brain.
Yeah. It's like, this is what your brain does. It's not a problem. Just keep going. It's going to be fine. So the way I like to think, another way I like to think about it is that there's the best part of me, which is my soul, right? That's where the best of me lives. And then there's the human part of me, which is my brain. And so I've got to take the best part of me, my soul, and I got to take the human side of me, the part that's like my body, and I got to bring those two together to make something amazing. Because when they're on opposite sides, nothing happens. I've got mm-hmm. to bring them both together to create what I want to create in my life. So it's not, oh, I need to fight against my brain. It's like, okay, brain, I get it. I get what's going on and I'm going to listen to you. Like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but we're going to do it anyway. And it's going to be okay. I just like to have that conversation with my brain. It's like, no, you're like my best friend and we're going along together and we're going to do this together. And yeah, it's going to suck sometimes and we'll feel our feelings like we did in the last episode and we'll just
yes.
let all the negativity be there. Yeah, we don't want to have pain. Yes, we want to seek pleasure. Yes, I know this is taking a lot of energy, but it's okay, brain, right? It's okay. Hold my hand. We're going to do this. That's something else that I like to tell people and that I have to tell myself often. It's like, it's just my brain being a human brain. Nothing's gone wrong. Of course this is happening. Nothing's gone wrong. Take a few deep breaths and keep moving.
No, I think that's the perfect thing for me to remind myself, especially when I am doing lunges, because I'm like, you're right, brain. This is terrible. We should stop doing this. This is awful. Nope. I'm going to be like, brain, I'm going to hold your hand. We got to do this. It's okay.
It's like, there's only 20 of them. Come on. Oh, brain goes, what?
Yeah. Only 20. Oh, gosh. Okay. So like we talked about in the first episode, we talked about breaking down what you guys in the life coaching world called the model. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the brain probably has those thoughts. We have the brain that gives us the thoughts and everything. And then we have learned we're going to feel our feelings and all that. Mm-hmm. But I know you and I have talked about something that you said that could possibly live in between the thought and the
circumstance.
Yeah. That's that line right there. Mm-hmm. You want to touch a little bit more about that brain?
Yeah. Area? So If for those of you who are listening, if you need a refresh on what the model is, go back to episode one from this life coaching series and get a refresh. But I'll go over it a little bit today in this episode. So I use a tool called the model when I coach people, when I'm helping people with their mindset, whatever it is. And with this tool, there's something called the circumstance. And what a circumstance is just the facts of things that are going on around you, like conversations that you've had, like direct quotes from emails or texts, or like whatever the weather is or whatever your goal is, right? Whatever factual thing is happening in the world, that's a circumstance. And then we have thoughts based on those circumstances. We have thoughts about those circumstances. And then we go through the rest of the, like, and then we have our thoughts create our feelings are what drive our actions, and then our actions are what get us the result in the end. Okay, so that's a rough overview of the model. Again, go back to episode one if you need more on that. But there's a space that lives in between the circumstance that is happening and what you think about that circumstance. And I like to call that space the filter. Now, I learned, or I was taught this concept by a coach, a life coach who went to the life coach school. Her name is Simone Soul. And she came up with this concept that there's a space between the circumstance and the thought. She never named it. I just loved the concept so much that I use it all the time. And I like to call it the filter because it makes so much sense. Because when there are circumstances outside of us, those circumstances will filter through our brains and then we'll have sentences in our brains based on not only the circumstance, but what things are going on in our filter. So let's talk about what's in the filter. These are things like your past experiences, the culture that you grew up in, the country that you grew up in, what family rules that you had, even your language is part of that as well. I listened to a TED talk, gosh, it's been like a year, but I listened to a TED talk about how even the language that we speak will influence and does influence the way that we think, especially languages that assign gender to certain types of things, right?
Yeah.
So it's influential on how that person will think. So it's all kinds of things, right? And think about genetics as well. Like I have a son who's 10 years old and he has ADHD. That is in his filter, right? All circumstances will filter through his brain, will go through his filter, and he'll have thoughts. And his thinking is going to be very different from mine just because he has ADHD, right? There are things that are, his brain is wired differently because of ADHD, because this is like, it's a neural thing. This can be for other things as well. Color blindness. I mean, that's a really simple thing, but maybe even left-handedness and all of these different things. There are tons. There's like an unlimited amount of things that are in your filter. That's what makes up you, right? That's you, basically. So you have a circumstance. It filters through all of these things, and then you're going to have thoughts. So when you notice that you have patterns, it's probably heavily influenced by your filter. And often you'll find that it's because of a belief that's in that filter. Let's talk about beliefs for a second. Beliefs are thoughts that you've thought, that your brain has thought over and over and over and over and over again to the point where it's just a fact. It's not something that you even think about anymore or question. It's just a fact. So I've had people who I've coached who are in that want to lose weight, right? And they have this belief that it's not possible for them to achieve their goal. It's like they've yo-yo dieted for so long. Like it's like, it's not possible. I've been trying for 20 years. It's not possible for me to get there. And because of that belief, that It's that belief that has kept them stuck for so long, but they've never questioned it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are just, if you want to change a belief, it's going to take time. I mean, I guess that moves us into the next space, but I'm taking up a lot of time.
No, you're not. This is awesome.
Okay.
You're supposed to be the main speaker on this. I'm just along for the ride.
Okay. So let's move into the next thing that I wanted to talk about, which is, so there's lots of different ways of thinking about it, but in the coaching world, we sometimes call it laddering thoughts, like ladder thinking or laddering thoughts, and then bridging thoughts. I like to call it bridging just because I like the visual. Like, I get the ladder thing, but I like the bridge because,
yeah,
you know where you are in your thinking. Like, if there's a belief that you have that you don't want to have anymore, you're on that side of the bridge. And then there's this big gap. And on the other side, across the gap, is where you, the new belief that you want to have.
Okay.
But you've got to build the bridge in between those. And each plank on that bridge is a new thought. And it's got to be believable. So you start on the side of, I'm trying to think of a really good example. Like, I'm a person who hates getting up in the morning, right? Let's try that. And then on the other side of that, and then on the other side of that is I'm a morning person. So you want to go from I hate getting up in the morning to I'm a morning person. Well, first of all, you've got to decide this is something that I want, right? Because if you don't want it, then don't do it. Not going to do it. I'm sorry, but you're just not going to do it. You have to want it, and you've got to have reasons for wanting it that are good and believable. So the first plank on that bridge it's possible that I'm wrong about that. Like, forever I've been thinking I hate getting up in the morning, but it's possible that I'm wrong about that. Maybe I don't hate it. And then you slowly, like, that can, once you believe that thought, that it's possible that you're wrong about it, then you move to the next one, which could be, I could be a person who likes to get up in the morning. That's possible. I could be a person who gets up in the morning. And then you slowly bridge the gap until you get to the point where you believe 90% of the time, 99% of the time, however you think about it, that you are a morning person. Okay. So that's just a really fizzled down version of what it would look like to bridge, because people think, oh, I've just got to change my thinking. So I'm going to try and just believe, like, from going from I hate getting up in the morning to I'm a morning person. You can't just take, that's a huge leap. Like, that's Grand Canyon, right?
Yeah.
We can't leap the Grand Canyon, people. It's just not possible. Which is why in life coaching and in mindset coaching, we teach people to ladder or to bridge so they can slowly get to where they want to be. Because even if you think it's like, you can't just use a thought if you don't believe it. If your brain doesn't believe it, then it's just going to chuck it out. Like, you're not a morning person, and it will give you all kinds of reasons why you're not a morning person. It'll come up with all of this evidence, and you'll just drop it. And you're like, you're right, brain. I was lying to myself. Right. And you'll have this kind of drama session with your brain.
I'll never think this again. Thank you for conserving my energy, brain.
Thank you for helping me avoid the pain and seek the pleasure of staying in bed. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it's something that takes time. Now, connected to this is neuropathways and neuroplasticity, right? We wanted to touch on these. So let's talk neuroplasticity. So our brains, what this means is that there's a lot of room for new neuropathways. What's a neuropathway? It's just things that are linked together in your brain. So, like, subjects that are linked together in your brain by pathways. Like, something that's linked together in my brain is like chocolate and yum. Chocolate and yum are connected in my brain with
chocolate
lots of...
Chocolate and yum
of,
are connected in my brain too.
With lots of like neuropathways of all of the different things, like food and what's other things? Oh, like, okay. So I love body combat. It's an exercise that I love to do. I do it like 5 times a week and I love it. So I've created, even though it hurts, I've created neuropathways where it's like, body combat means fun. That's what it means in my brain. It means sweating. It means a little bit of pain, but it means like all of those things are connected in my brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are, I guess I kind of popped around a little bit, but those are neuropathways, right? Things, subjects and thoughts and things that are all connected in your brain to each other. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm sure that, you know, when you're trying, like you said, with the bridging, you're trying to create a new neural pathway. Because I'm sure like when you started body combat, I mean, maybe not for you, but like when people start body combat and they're just like, this is crazy. This is hard, blah, blah, blah. And so those neural pathways are so like, you know, it's uncharted territory. Like, you know, this is an unpinging, an untraveled road or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then as you slowly work on it more and more, then that road, you know, becomes a highway and it gets bigger. And so then you actually get to have that connection of, yes, you know, body combat or whatever it's called equals yum.
Equals yay,
I mean, fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it's not going to happen instantaneously. I think that's the coolest thing about like neuroplasticity and like those neural pathways is like from the ages of birth to 30s. I know that's hard to hear. Your brain is so malleable that like, okay, it's so easy to learn like new neural pathways and like bam, 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 let's grow bigger and faster. But as we get older and our neuroplasticity starts to slow down and become less malleable, then it's like a fight to get through that jungle to do anything. And I think that's where that whole old dog, new tricks kind of thing
comes into play, yeah.
Slides in. And so for somebody that is in their 30s, I'm like, it's crunch time.
Yeah.
I have to change my brain right now before I don't want to get through that horrible jungle.
Yeah,
I'm gonna make a highway right now.
Exactly. And going back to how this works with bridging thoughts. Yeah, with a belief, those neural pathways, right? You've practiced, it's the same thing, right? A belief is just a neural pathway that's wide and you've used it so often that it's a 5-lane highway and that's the way your car travels. That's the fastest way to get to where you wanted to go, which is yum or fun or whatever, right? Wherever you're trying to get to. So when you want to connect mornings to fun or yum or whatever, and it's not connected to that, you literally have to create a new pathway that's competing with the old one, because that's what happens. They will compete with each other, and you have to be very intentional to go down the new pathway so that it stays strong, because your brain will use the strong one because that's fastest. It's like it wants to conserve energy, right? That's going back to the motivational triad of the brain. Like, why would I use a path that's covered in vines and that I have to hack through? To like, why would I do that when I've got this 5-lane highway that's like a million times faster, right? So you have to be very intentional when you want to create a new neural pathway. Now, if you're motivated to do that, then it's going to feel easier. So when it comes to a goal, I like to tell people you've got to have lots of really good reasons for why you're doing this. Because you're going to have to fight your brain the entire way to create that new neural pathway. If you want it, great, let's do the work. If you really don't and you're trying to force it, like why? Then let's talk about why you want to do this. That's like a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my spiel on that.
No, and I like how it works on so many levels too, because Erin and I did an episode about social media and stuff like that. Mm. And other things that could be like a coping mechanism. And I think that's one of the tools that you could easily use to be like, okay, this is going to be hard, but anytime I start to feel an emotion or whatever, and I want to use social media or snacking or something as like a coping mechanism, I know it's going to be a fight in my brain to be like, no, like we have to do something healthy or something different. We have to choose to specifically not just run to our phone or run to the pantry or something like that. Like it, mm-hmm. you have to intentionally create that new thought process and fight your way out of that unhealthy coping habit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I enjoy talking about that kind of stuff because I'm like, it works on so many levels. Like, yeah, it just does.
it does.
It just does.
It just does. And when it comes to intentional thinking, one of the things I like to tell myself, and I have it written on my board in my office in here, is that I want to live on purpose. I don't want to live a life where I'm just randomly moving through my day and having no intention whatsoever, and just whatever comes, comes, and my life will be whatever the circumstance dictates. It's like, that sounds terrible. Like then I'm not living my life. Then other people are swaying me here and there, and I'm letting my motivational triad dictate where I go and what I do. It's like, I don't want to live like that. I want to live on purpose. I want to be in charge of me. Right? People think, well, you're always in charge. It's like, yeah, that's true. But sometimes we give our power away to people, circumstances, even our own brains, right?
Yeah.
Again, brains, can you trust them sometimes? Can you always trust them? Heck no. Right? If you're going to trust something, trust your soul, baby, and then get your brain to be your friend.
Yeah, no, and I like that. I think we've got like a really good grasp on the brain and whatnot. So I guess talking more about like the soul and whatnot, how would you describe like the soul to somebody? Was that just like a desires or who you feel like you truly are or something like that? Because I'm talking about like, because I feel like I know what a soul is, but like, yeah. Let's say like non-religious people or something like that that might not have that same idea of what a soul could be,
mm-hmm.
is that kind of more of like that area that's just, I don't know, within that feelings part, the things that you can trust and you know what's right. It's kind of like what people call like their gut. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. How would I describe that? I would say I like to think of it, as I said before, I like to think of it as my best self.
Okay.
The future self that I want to have. Like if there was a future me 5 years from now, what would that look like? That's my soul.
Okay.
And then I want to get there. It could be desires, but I like, that's not necessarily always my best self, right? Desires and best self don't, I mean, they usually go together, but sometimes they don't, and that's okay. It depends on the kind of desires we're having. Like, is this my human?
Like chocolate.
Is this, and yeah. Yum. Is this my desire to have chocolate? Is this my desire to be healthy? Like, what desire are we talking about? Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like to think of it as my best self. When I'm being my best self, what does that look like? What is that? And then bringing my brain along for the ride. Like, best self's in charge. The one that wants to live on purpose. The one that wants to create a life where they aren't a slave to avoiding their feelings or shame or these old beliefs that they don't want to, that aren't serving them anymore, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I often put that as like, I call it my future self as well, because like, you know, those 20 lunches and how uncomfortable it is. I'm like, come on, future self. I am doing this for you. You better love me for doing this for you. Yeah. And so, yeah, I guess I do make a lot of those choices based on future self. You know, I'm doing this work right now to help my future self in the long run.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot more sense. I'm just trying to help those that like soul, you know.
What's that? Yeah.
What is that?
Like, well, you don't, it's like, maybe that's not the right term. You don't have to use the term soul. That's just the term I like to use.
Yeah.
And one way I also talk about this, like future self with other people, the analogy that I like to use is butterflies. butterflies, going from a caterpillar to a butterfly. It's yeah. like you, your caterpillar is like the old self. The butterfly is the new self. And you're in when you're in the process of change, you're in the cocoon, you're in the chrysalis, and you're kind of like soup. Because I don't know if you know this, but
yeah, caterpillars turn into like a mushy, they're gooey, blobby, yeah, gutsy thing.
They kind of
yeah.
disintegrate and come into this goo, and then they build themselves back together into this new form. And so when people come to me for life coaching, it's like, okay, you are caterpillar soup right now. And while you're caterpillar soup, we're going to decide what butterfly is going to look like. When you come out of the chrysalis, like, what's that butterfly going to look like? What's that best self? What's that future self? And we're going to build that while you're in this chrysalis, while you're in this soup state. You're going to make decisions that are going to create the butterfly that comes out. That's how I like to put it, because people can like visualize it. I'm a visual person, so I like visuals.
Samesies. I love it. I love that. Okay. Any other things that you wanted to bring up as far as the brain is concerned? Have we wrapped up the episode?
I think that's everything. Just, yeah, become, if you feel like you're fighting with your brain, just find ways to be friends with it and to help it. Because it's you know, it's not perfect. It's got this motivational triad thing going, and it's dealing with that. And it's got this filter that influences things. And, you know, neuroplasticity is... it's a thing. It ends at some point. And it gets harder and harder every year. Like, neuroplasticity lessens in percent every year the older you get.
Yeah.
And building new neural pathways takes work. So, you know, give your brain a break, love it anyway, and move forward.
And chocolate equals yum. That's my favorite line of the whole episode, because
that's my neuropathway, guys. That's my five line highway.
That's the biggest chocolate one yum. I have. No, just kidding. Okay, well, awesome. Thank you so much, Amanda, again, for another awesome episode. And this one is all about the brain. I'm super excited to have you on here. The last couple episodes have been awesome, and I'm really looking forward to our next episode, that we are going to be talking about relationships. This one's going to be a big one. If it gets to be too long, I'll probably split it up into a couple episodes. But yeah, relationships with ourselves, relationships with our significant others, relationships with friendships, relationships with our kids, just relationships in general. And so hopefully you guys will tune in for another amazing week of Amanda and life coaching. And till next time.
Yay! Thank you.
We want to be a part of your adventure too. So submit your topics, questions, or silly stories to us at motherhoodadventurepod@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes.
Become part of our mom tribe by following us on Facebook and Instagram so you don't miss a mess-filled mom moment. Thanks for joining us through our journey of tantrums, triumphs, and teamwork.
Till next time.